Let us now turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44, the text for today's message is taken from Isaiah 44, verse 1 to 5. This is the word of God. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my spirit on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't normally drink cold drinks, but in this past February when my family was in Brisbane, the weather there was so hot that I constantly desired after cold drinks to quench my thirst. Well, we all instinctively will seek to relieve our thirst when we feel thirsty. But sadly, when it comes to spiritual thirst, we tend to not be very conscious of it, or may even at times ignore it. Do you find yourself spiritually dull and dry? Did you wake up this morning excited that you are coming to God's house to worship Him? Or is coming to God's house something that is but a routine, nothing to be too excited about? Do you enjoy each day living for Christ and walking with Him, communing with Him? Or has your relationship and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ become something like some old friends that have drifted apart from each other, no longer talk much with each other, and don't really desire to be with each other anymore? Our zeal, our love for God can often dry up because we are yet in our imperfection. Our sin nature still plagues us every day in our lives. Our sin nature will still want to cause us to not delight in God. And when this kind of feelings is left unchecked, then our spiritual lives can deteriorate to become like a dry and parched ground. But we need not feel discouraged or hopeless about it as God's people, because our gracious God has a great encouragement for us this morning from His Word. And so with God's help, we want to consider this passage of God's Word under the theme, God will pour water on him who is thirsty. And we will consider this under three main points. First, the problem. The problem. Secondly, the promise. And thirdly, the product or the result of it. Firstly, the problem. God says in verse 3, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. The dry ground here describes for us the spiritual condition of Israel during the time of prophet Isaiah. Why were they like dry ground spiritually? What was their problem? Well, if we would turn to chapter 43, the chapter before this of Isaiah, verse 22 to 24 tells us, "But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings." The word "serve" there has the idea of burden. God says, "I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities." Now, it is not that the children of Israel had stopped worshiping God and offering offerings to God, but those kinds of worship, those things, had now become a burden to them, had now become a joyless duty to the children of Israel, that they are described to be weary or tired. They're tired of the relationship with God. They're tired of having to wait upon God. They're tired of having to trust God, to live for God and to serve God. And certainly and naturally, their worship would then become tiresome or wearisome to them. And that's much like many today who are also weary of the Lord. They too feel tired of having to go to church to worship, and for us, twice a Sunday is so wearisome. They feel tired of having to obey God and not being able to do my own will. They feel tired of giving their time and effort to serve God, to live God for God. They feel tired to even pray to God, much less to pray for others. And so the means of grace that God has given to them becomes the means of weariness to them. They feel weary doing all these things. But this, if that's the condition of our hearts, is something very serious. For we know physically if we should go without water, we would die of thirst. And if the land be without water, the plants and the animals would die. So also spiritually, we would become dry. The spiritual condition of the people of God during Isaiah's day was really not good. And God says in chapter 43, verse 24, that to them, God says, "You have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities." Here, the children of Israel were, as it were, brought into a courtroom, and God, as a judge, was saying to them, "Put me," in verse 26, "put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted." In other words, make a case for yourself. Do you have any reason, any excuse for your unfaithfulness to me, for feeling weary in living for me? The fact is, they have no excuse, no justification at all for their behavior. And such unfaithfulness to God started actually way back from their ancestors. Verse 27, we're told, "Your first father sinned, and your mediators have transgressed against me." And because of their unfaithfulness and their unrepentance, the Lord said in verse 28, he pronounced the sentence to punish Israel. He says, "Therefore I will profane the princes of the sanctuary. I will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches." In other words, God was going to let Israel be destroyed. How about us? How about you and me? What is it that the Lord will say of us? Will He also say to us, are you weary of what I expect of you? Don't you know it is in fact you who have burdened me with your sins? You have wearied me with your iniquities. You see, how often God's people are like the dry ground spiritually, and yet we are unaware of it. We don't even realize it. Yes, we may still be going to church, we may still be attending this fellowship group or this Bible study, we may be still serving in the church in some way, but our hearts may be really far from God. We live each day without the true joy of the Lord. We do not enjoy walking with Christ. Our faith and our resolve to obey Christ would just quickly disappear at the slightest challenge. How often we have become like what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Oh, loved ones, if that's the description of you and me before this all-knowing God, before His all-searching eye, that we have to cry out to God, yes, that's a description of me, God. I have been so dry for so long. I need to be refreshed by you, Lord. Then there is good news in the Word of God for all thirsty ones today. And that's the second point, the promise. Despite of the unfaithfulness of His people, yet God remained faithful to His chosen people. He gives His people grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Although God pronounced judgment in chapter 43, 28, which indeed came to pass some 200 years later because they remain unrepentant, God justly punished them by giving them over to be captured by Babylon, the Babylonians, to be led into captivity. Yes, the holy God is serious about sin. He never gives empty threats, and He will execute His judgment. But yet, immediately we see, following this warning of the coming judgment that God would execute on them, God actually had a promise of hope for His people to hear. And that is our text today, verse 1 of chapter 44. We read there, yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Yet, what an amazing and comforting word, yet. Though you people have dried up and hardened like the parched ground, completely deserving of punishment from God, yet our covenant God says, though you have fallen into this state, yet will I refresh and restore you. Here we have God reminding His chosen people, the true spiritual Israel, that He is their covenant God, who will never leave nor forsake them. Because verse 2 we read, thus saith the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you? Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. Loved ones, do you find you have lost your zeal for God and you have grown cold and dry spiritually and you don't like that? God says, I will help you. Have you been struggling with your same sins again and again and again that you just feel so hopeless that you will never be able to overcome them, but God says, I will help you. Have you feel that you are so far from God that you can never be again enjoy the sweetness of communion with Him? He says, I will help you. I will continually help you. Fear not. And notice the way God so affectionately addresses His people. He says, Oh, Jacob, my servant. And we know Jacob, the name means heel grabber or supplanter, which describes a person who would, either by force or by scheming, takes the place of another. And Jacob, in the Bible, was such an unscrupulous schemer, cheater, who cheated his brother of his birthright, who cheated also his uncle Laban, who also lied to his elderly father who was blind at that time. Jacob was not a nice character in his natural self, and yet God calls him so affectionately here, Oh Jacob, my servant. You and I are undeserving, unprofitable, unfaithful servants of the Lord like Jacob. But by the grace of God in Christ, He looks upon us and also counts us His servants. What a gracious God we have. And He continues to address them as Yeshurun, you Yeshurun whom I have chosen. Yeshurun means the righteous or the upright one, which is what God expects and desires of His people, to be righteous and upright. This word Yeshurun appears four times in the Bible. And each time it is but an affectionate name that God addresses His people with. It is something like some family name that some parents give to their children, which is only used at home, where they call their children by some other name in an affectionate way. Here, God affectionately calls His people Yeshurun, which expresses to them and to us the love that God has for His people. And here is what God promised to do in His grace for His people who had failed to live uprightly, who has been unfaithful and had gone after other gods and spiritually dried up. Despite of all this, God says, God promised in verse 3, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Though you deserved all this, you brought all this upon yourself by your sins and by your turning away from me, yet God says, I will pour. It would be like rain that provides the parched ground that life-giving water. It would be like a cup of cold water for a man dying of thirst to quench his thirst. God says here that I will not merely give you a few drops, but that I will pour. I will heavily and abundantly pour upon you who are thirsty spiritually till you be flooded. Notice the word floods in the plural there. And so it is not just one time, but again and again, God will flood you, flood your dry ground until it becomes streams, rivers of living waters from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the depths and mercy and the grace of our God. So are you spiritually dry and thirsty? Then hear what our Lord Jesus also says in John 7 verse 37. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And John 4:14, he says, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So what is it that God promised to pour out here? For we know that physical water can never quench our spiritual thirst and dryness. What is it that God says he will pour? God reveals in this same verse that the water here is referring to his Holy Spirit. In other words, the solution, the promised solution here to our problem is nothing less than God giving himself to us, giving his Holy Spirit to us. He says, I will pour my Spirit upon you. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who comes alongside us to strengthen us, to sanctify us, to guide us, to cause us to bear forth fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God will come upon dry grounds of our hearts and bring refreshment, to bring with him life and cleansing. And when we hear this, it reminds us of one very important event, and that is none other than the Pentecost. So we can see this promise also pointed to the Pentecost, where the Spirit of God was abundantly poured out. Of course, we know it doesn't mean that the Old Testament saints had not the Holy Spirit's work. For any dead sinners to believe in God, to obey God, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so even for Old Testament saints, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that gave them faith in God. But we know that it was at Pentecost and since Pentecost that the Holy Spirit is poured out in abundant measures on every child of God. Therefore, this promise given during the time of Isaiah of spiritual refreshing is not only for the people of Isaiah's time, but also this promise is for God's people of all ages and still valid today, and it's for you and for me also till the Lord Jesus shall come again. And our text shows that God pours his Holy Spirit upon three groups of people. First are the thirsty ones. This may refer to those believers who are aware of their spiritual need of God, that they find no satisfaction in the things of this world. And they know that they need God. Their satisfaction for their souls especially must come from God. And so they desire after God. They thirst after God. And that's, they are thirsty like the psalmist, as is described in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, where the psalmist says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And David also says in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Do you thirst this way after God? Do you find that you desire after him? Go to him. Go to Christ, the fountain of living waters, and he shall satisfy your thirst. And the second group of people are described as the dry ground here. The dry ground are those who are dry but do not thirst after the Lord. This can be referring to the elect people of God that are yet unconverted, and so there is no life in them at all. They are dry. Or it can also refer to those who are so backslidden that they do not feel their thirst anymore for the Lord. They do not see their need for the Lord. They may go to church, but do not get any blessings. Well, they do not come to expect any blessings in the first place. And so they walk in and out of church the same as before. But here, for such people of God, the Holy Spirit is promised to them, that the Holy Spirit that gives life will in due time cause them to see their need and to desire to be reconciled to God. And so for these people of God, though they be dry, so dry at this point, here we see that instead of God flooding them with His holy wrath, He says, I will flood them with My Spirit. What mercy, what grace. Undeserved, unsought, unbought by His people. Solely out of grace. Which type are you? And then the third group is the seed. In other words, referring to the covenant children. And this is a wonderful promise to believers. Not only do believers get the blessings of the Holy Spirit, but also their seed, their offspring. That's why Peter said at Pentecost, in Acts 2 verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Children of true believers are covenant children. And that's why we baptize our children, to receive the sign and seal of God's covenant promise. Of course, we do not believe in presumptive regeneration. We do not believe that baptism saved our children. We do not believe that simply because our children are born into Christian family, they automatically have a place in heaven. For we know that God has to turn the hearts also of our children to Him. Like in Romans 9 verse 11 we read, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. But they, our children, are included in the covenant people of God. And so you children, you are blessed. You have been set apart to belong to God. You are special in God's eyes. You too must then come to turn away from your own sins and rebellion. You must repent before Christ and ask Him to save you and forgive you for your sins. And then you give yourself to live for Him, to obey Him because of this loving Savior who has so saved you from the condemnation that you also deserve. So that you now want to live in thankfulness for Him. Children, you don't naturally become Christian just by coming to church. But you have to turn your heart to Christ too. And the greatest desire for believing parents is the salvation of our children, isn't it? Our children can be successful in this world, earn tons of money, but if they would lose their own soul, if they would turn away from the paths of the Lord, how heartbreaking that would be. But here is the promise of God we can claim upon and pray for our children. That God, would you not pour your Spirit also upon my child, my children who may have gone to the ways of the world, that we do not need to give up on them, that we continue to pray for them. Lord, would you not pour? Your Spirit on them? For this is the work the Holy Spirit must do. And so that's what makes this promise so precious. And that we claim upon it, then we ask God to convert, to turn the hearts of our children according to His will and purpose. This is rooted not in us, but in Christ, in God's faithfulness. And therefore, we can take comfort in this promise of God. For ourselves, when we are dry, He will pour. We can go to Him. For our children too, we can entrust them into the hands of our God. And thirdly, let's look at the product or the result of God pouring His Spirit upon His people. The Lord says this will be the result. Verse 4, they will spring up among the grass like willows by the water courses. Notice the vigor with which the people of God would grow, as described here in verse 4. They will spring up, just like in those dry seasons where there is no rain, the trees, the leaves on the trees and the grass of the field just turn brown and dry. But when rain starts to fall, everything would again turn green and come alive again. So when the Lord pours His Holy Spirit upon His people, they will come alive. And here, the results of the pouring of His Spirit on His people is that by the working of the Holy Spirit, they will now consecrate themselves to God. There will be spiritual growth. Verse 5 tells us, one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. All this while they have been living for themselves. All this while they have been turning away from God. But now one will say, I am the Lord's. I belong to Him, body and soul, both in life and death. I will now hand over myself completely to my God, and henceforth not to live for myself, but to live unto Him, that my desires will be toward my God. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Yes, they will come before God and admit, Lord, I'm no better than that Jacob of old, but since you by grace have saved him, Lord, I too am a Jacob, saved by grace. I'm a Jacob, saved by grace, the servant of the Lord. And another will write with his hand, the Lord's, as if to write it upon his hand so that everyone can see, as if to sign an agreement signifying their commitment or their pledge to be one with the people of God, with the church of God. I want to be in it. I love to be in it with the people of God, to serve God among his people and to live for him. No turning back, for I am the Lord's. And yes, by His grace and working of the Holy Spirit, my life, though I was an Jacob, now I belong to Israel, the people of God whom He loves from all eternity. By the working of the Holy Spirit, you children too, as you turn to the Lord, you too can say, I am the Lord's, with full confidence in your heart and desiring after Him. But we know neither we nor our children deserve this grace and salvation from God, for we are all conceived and born in sin. But it is the Lord who must pour then. And that can only be possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the one who sends forth His Holy Spirit to turn the hearts of His people to Himself. And this is possible because He has given Himself a ransom for many. For when Christ was on the cross of Calvary, when God the Father poured His holy wrath upon His Son and His curse upon His own Son, the Lord Jesus, for our sins, when the Lord Jesus cried out, I thirst, there was not even a sprinkle of comfort from God, not to say pour. God did not pour out anything, any help for him. He bore the punishment, the hellish agonies that is due to your sins and my sins being forsaken of the Father, so that God may pour His Holy Spirit, His blessings upon you and I, His people. Heaven was shut to the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, so that heaven may be opened unto us unworthy sinners and our seed. And God will continue to pour His Spirit to work in His people until we be like Christ, until we be molded to be perfect in Him, until we be finally presented before Him faultless, without blemish. What a blessing that He'll continue to pour. He'll pour and pour so that we will be made perfect in Christ. Have we been barren and dry? Why will you leave church this morning and continue to be barren and dry if you have been barren and dry? Would you not ask God for that water for your dry soul? Why would you want to remain this way any longer? Oh, you may say, I've tried many times, but I still feel so dry. I'm beyond hope. I cannot go near to God. But nobody is too far away from God that would be beyond the reach of God. No. No matter how deep you have fallen or I have fallen, His amazing gracious hand can reach down to the very bottom of the pit to pull us back to Himself. So go to Him today, even this moment, and cry to God, Lord, I've been dry. Would you not again refresh me by your Holy Spirit? Well, He has promised not just here, Revelations 22:17, for example. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Also in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. These promises of God is still being fulfilled today. So let us plead that He will fulfill that in us as well. God will pour, not a few drops. He will abundantly pour. For Christ is the fountain of living waters. Look no more to other things or elsewhere. For they are all broken cisterns that can hold no water. Christ is the fountain. Let us go to Him. Will you not cry to Him then? For He has promised, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry grounds. Amen.